Good ideas are like red wine. They need time in the cellar for refinement. Here's where I keep mine. Welcome to 55 Degrees. Welcome to 55 Degrees, my personal blog of thoughts and reflections, primarily in the last 6 months about grief. And what I wanted to do today is explain and describe something of my grief process and how the Enneagram has been very, very instrumental in helping me process my grief. For those of you who are unfamiliar, the Enneagram is a process of self-discovery, is what I would describe it as and what it's done for me. It's a tool that helps an individual identify core motivations and fears in order to become more aware of how those choices are made in light of those two essentials. And I was unaware of my motives, but I was very, very well versed in my fears. And the Enneagram has helped me discover that, helped me understand myself a little bit better. And also, it's helping me reflect back on my marriage of nearly 30 years and why we faced certain conflict that we did and why much of that conflict went unresolved. So it's as if this tool came along maybe a little too late, because it is giving me insight into some of the issues that I struggled with. And what's enlightening me, though, however, on this new journey of being a widower and learning to live a brand new life without a life partner. See, my largest, biggest, most important vow has been completed. I signed up in April of 1990 and said, "Till death do us part." And death did part us on November 2nd, 2019. So I'm in this process of figuring out what is life going to look like without my partner. And I'm fascinated by what I'm discovering, and I'm a little bit tentative on some of the things that my eyes are opening to. But as is my desire, I always want to help or use my voice to help others hear someone else, or maybe help hear your own voice. So that's why I take the risk to share these things. I'm not an expert on the Enneagram. I'm just a learner, but it has been so liberating for me. I thought I just really need to tell this story, and in doing so, it might help someone else make sense of their own journey. Where I want to start is explaining some of the core motivations that I'm learning about that is central to an Enneagram 4. And it was very easy for me to identify that category, because one of the key needs of a 4 is uniqueness. Many type 4s feel like they're different. They feel like they're kind of out there on their own. And I've felt that my whole life, even growing up as a young boy, where I did, lived out in a rural community. I didn't have any friends nearby. And so I had to figure out ways to entertain myself. And I took up skateboarding. Nobody in my school did skateboarding, certainly didn't take it as seriously as I did, and building ramps and jumps and things like that. I was also into bands like Devo and back in the early 80s when they showed up on Saturday Night Live, and I thought they were interesting, and everybody else thought they were weird. So that's just a little snapshot of how I saw myself at age 16 is thinking, you know, I don't see things quite like everybody else does. And one of the primary differences is how I processed information via emotion. And even in some of the Enneagram literature, there's always this caution of, oh, don't let the Enneagram 4, don't let type 4s run away with their emotion. And see, I've been taught that my entire life, that I'm supposed to fear my emotion and hold it in check or hold it in suspicion. And I even remember in my faith tradition, there was this little illustration to explain about faith in God. And it was a three-car train. And at the head of the train was fact. And in the middle of the train was faith. And then tagging along somewhere behind is feeling. And feeling was always somewhere else, that what really mattered was fact, and you put your faith in fact, and it really doesn't matter what you feel. And so I just bought into that for several years, thinking my feelings were just dangerous, secondary, really not of much use. What I'm learning now through my series, my process of grief, is how important and central my emotions are to my creative design. That emotion is one of the ways, one of the central ways that I process information. And without that, I'm missing, and you are missing, a very significant gift and role that I can bring. People tell me on my blog, they ask, how do you do that? How are you so open, and how are you so forthcoming in your thoughts and feelings? And I think, well, why are you not? See, it comes easy. Well, let me take that back. It comes naturally to me to feel. I am not afraid of emotion. Certainly not afraid of dark emotion, of which I've had much and many over the years. But emotion is really, really critical to my understanding of the world. And what I'm, the freedom that I'm experiencing through understanding type 4 is just how important emotion is to me in processing information. Along with that, that explains why music is so important to me and has been since I was a teenager. I recall when I first heard rock and roll really loud, it was an album that my sister owned, and the album was Styx Crystal Ball, and the opening song was Tailor Made for Me, because when no one was in the house and I would sneak in and grab that record and put it on our Zenith Hi-Fi and turn it up real loud while it said, "Put me on, I'm your brand new record album. Side one, cut one, listen to the sounds. Play me loud, don't you worry about your neighbors. I hope I make you feel good all day long." And that was my introduction into music and emotion, even at age 13, where I did not have much wisdom, certainly did not have language to describe what was happening to me, but music began to give me a language to express my inner emotion that mere words and logic and reason could not access. I've used the quote from Irish poet David White several times in my writing, and he said, "The language that we possess is far too inadequate for the territory that we have just entered into." And that is so true of grief for me. I've entered into a place now where I did not think I would be. I'm a widower, living life alone, and trying to figure out what will the next several years of my life look like. And I did not have language for it, but my heart does. And that's why music has been so important to me in my grief journey, because music allows me access to feelings, and it gives me words that I did not know I had. And it allows me to express something of my heart through grief. And I post a song a day on my Facebook page, and I title it, Today's a Good Day. And I started doing that back in December, and I did not plan to do this, but what it's turned into is I'm trying to find a song every day, a different song that I don't duplicate, and I'm hoping to find 365 songs in the year that express my journey of grief. Some friends who pay attention, they can tell me, it sounds like your music is changing. They seem less dark. They seem a little bit more hopeful. And that is exactly true. And that's one of the reasons I did this little self project, is I wanted to see, what was I listening to in December? What was speaking to my emotion in December, soon after my loss? And then what does it turn into down the road? And I can tell you, my music has changed. And because my spirit has changed, and my emotion has changed, and my outlook has changed. And so that's just one way that music allows me access to my emotion. Another sense of uniqueness for me is dreams and visions. I have very, very vivid dreams, and have had so since college. And how I would distinguish dreams and visions is, a dream is a mental picture of a story or a scene or a setting that plays out during sleep. A vision, on the other hand, is a very, very similar story that plays out, except I'm wide awake. And so I might be driving down the highway, and all of a sudden I see this picture in my mind, much like it would be a dream if I was asleep. And I've had these pictures and these stories for years, but I've had no one or no way to actually process that information. And going so far as some people say, well, that's, God doesn't speak to you that way. He doesn't speak in that fashion. So it certainly must not be from him. And so you need to hold that in suspicion too. So here I am, emotion held in suspicion. Now my dreams and visions, which are vivid and detailed, are held in suspicion. So yeah, that adds to my feeling of, man, I'm different and I don't know where I fit here. But over time, as these dreams continue, and as I take them seriously and write them down, I have found a couple of people that take them seriously with me, to the point where they can refer back to them on my behalf from time to time, and they can also help me interpret them more deeply. So that's how dreams and visions speak to me. And I've had very, very accurate dreams, even about my wife's passing and what would happen during those final days. Too weird and too complicated to go into on this session, but maybe sometime I'll get there. A second motive, a core motive that I now see as central and not as a superfluous interest, is, as a type 4, I have an intense need for beauty and order. And what I emphasize that word need, because again, I was led to believe that beauty was secondary. What always happens when budget cuts at a school occur, the art program or the music program gets cut, correct? Because there's no money in those. And so even in that simple comparison, I always wondered, well, this must not be that important. It must really be a more of a distraction than anything serious. But I knew in my heart something wasn't right about that thought. And the way I knew it is because I compulsively gardened every year and have so for 30 years since I moved into this house. And over time, I continue to add and build and grow to the point now, if you came over, you would go, wow, that's a beautiful yard. And it's because now I see I have an intense need to create beauty and set things in order. But for years, I felt guilty doing that. I thought this was just a passing of time or just a hobby or maybe even an escape from things that really mattered. And now what I'm learning to trust my heart, and I'm learning to see that no, beauty is essential to my being and well-being. And if I don't pursue that, and if I don't commit myself to creating that, then the world around me is going to be missing out because I'm the one that's supposed to bring that gift to the table. And that has been, again, very, very liberating. But where this makes sense to me is my core motivation collided with my late wife's deepest fears. And that's where this Enneagram has been so helpful in understanding motivation and fear, and how fear ends up really driving us ultimately if it is not dealt with, if it is not considered deeply and taken very seriously, because fear then will drive our life. And I see now that that is some of the deepest collisions that we had in our marriage, is my core motivation collided with her deepest fear, and we had conflict. And now that that conflict is missing, I can now look at it differently. I describe it like this. It's like I have a jigsaw puzzle here on the table in front of me, and most of it is complete. The border is finished, but there are a couple of great big spots that are missing pieces, and I can't find them, and I don't have the lid to show me what that picture is supposed to look like. So I'm in the process of searching out, finding missing pieces, and as I do, through my therapy, through understanding the Enneagram, through understanding myself, I've been handed a handful of new pieces, and they're starting to fit, and they're making sense to me now of, oh, this is what I was feeling. This is what caused the conflict. That makes perfect sense now. What it's doing is freeing me and setting me up now to live a new life, a freer life. And really, I think that's the ultimate goal and the end of the Enneagram is freedom. We live in such bondage to our fears, and that is not the intent of life. The intent is to live free. And the truth will always set us free. If it doesn't, it's not truth. So if you find yourself bound, hung up, caught, truth isn't there yet. Truth is not reigning in your heart. And that has been the biggest thing that's helped me over the last 6 months. I'll keep turning these thoughts into words, and I'll post another one later this week. Thanks.